Please silence all electronic devices.
I'm sorry, folks. I don't trust them, and our folks don't trust them.
There is a great deal of overreaction from those who are criticizing this legislation. They will see me in court. You know, if the General Assembly were really trying to do a power grab, there's a lot of things the General Assembly could do, and we weren't.
And they don't have a very good track record there.
Any further discussion or debate?
From a snowy and cold downtown Durham, this is the WUNC Politics Podcast. Happy New Year. I'm Jeff Tabiri. Glad to have you along on this Thursday, January the 4th, for a discussion about business, sports, what might be coming in 2018 in Charlotte, as well as with the Carolina Panthers. Your guest today, Katie Peralta, a business reporter with the Charlotte Observer. She joins us on the line from Charlotte to chat about North Carolina's largest city. Hey there, Katie. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. First things first, no snow, but awfully cold down there, yes?
Oh, my gosh. It's freezing, and I feel so embarrassed saying that because I'm from Chicago, so I'm supposed to be used to this, but I don't think anyone's used to this.
Right, but you come down, and it's often there's like shorts weather in November or February, and then you get hit with it. I mean, this is really cold. I'm from Massachusetts, and this is as cold as it's been, I think, in the 11, 12 years that I've been in North Carolina.
Yeah, for sure. It's thankfully supposed to be back up to the 50s, which is, I guess, more typical of this time of year, like next week, which is great. But for now, it's dangerous. Like, they're worried about the homeless folks and about kids and old folks, things like that. So hoping it warms up a little bit here eventually.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get into the Carolina Panthers. I have them as Charlotte Panthers in my notes. Hello, clearly a triangle guy here. The one word that kind of struck me as I was thinking about the Panthers is uncertainty. What word, if any, or a couple would you attach to the Panthers right now? Not as we think about the wild card game this weekend, but as we think about just where things stand with this franchise.
I think that's the perfect word to use to describe it. As we've noted in our coverage recently, you know, we don't know who the new owners will be. We don't know whether they will ask to build a new stadium. We don't know for certain whether they'll keep them in Charlotte, although it's fairly likely that they will. And we don't know how long this deal will take to close. All signs point to probably a few months. If you look at previous examples, I believe when the Bills were sold, I believe that it took about 5 months for the deal to close, which was like, you know, it was like December, January, and then the deal closed. You know, before the preseason. So that could be what we're looking at with the Panthers. But all in all, I would say that certainly uncertainty is a word that I would use to describe at least what's going on with the organization. Of course, we're not sure what will happen in New Orleans on Sunday as well. But, you know, I guess that word pertains to that, too.
Sure. And I want to chat about some of the infrastructure challenges or issues, what might emerge down the line. But first, this Sunday, Panthers at the Saints. They kick off, scheduled for 4:40. They're division rivals, so they've met twice this year. The Saints have won both of those matchups. What does obviously a playoff game in a host city is a big deal and a big economic driver. What will Charlotte be like on Sunday? Do you have a sense of that? I mean, can you set the scene, or is this a boon for hotels and restaurants, or is this just kind of another weekend?
It's definitely always a little bit more exciting uptown when there's even an away game. You know, there will be bars with specials and, you know, extra room added and more TVs on for Panthers games. It's a completely different feel when there are games uptown. You know, people will tailgate at bars and restaurants nearby the stadium, and they will kind of trickle into bars and restaurants and other places while the game is going on to watch. But it's always going to be a boon for Uptown Charlotte. This might be a little bit more so than usual because of the fact that they didn't make the playoffs last year. You know, maybe there's more pressure. Maybe people are excited about what's going on. You know, like we were just talking about before we started, it is really cold right now, so I wouldn't be surprised if that kept more people indoors than would be normal. So certainly look out for a lot of excitement in Uptown Charlotte and surrounding areas on Sunday.
All right. The Panthers, so uncertainty, as we talked about a few moments ago with the Panthers franchise, this is largely born out of Jerry Richardson, I believe, the only owner of the franchise. The 81-year-old was named in this fairly expansive report from Sports Illustrated a couple of weeks ago now. And stemming from that, stemming from inappropriate workplace conduct, sexual harassment, he has agreed to sell the team after the season. And there, you know, there are only 32 NFL franchises. This is not something that happens every year, even every other year. This is a rare event. These are huge businesses. These are billion-dollar enterprises. Do we have a short list yet for who might realistically be the next owner, or the, you know, the majority owner of the Carolina Panthers?
There have been, you know, whispers of a local group gathering together in some fashion. Felix Sabates, who owns a bunch of car dealerships around Charlotte, has said that there's interest in a building a local team. And I would imagine that that would include a lot of folks in the business community that have a lot of money. I don't want to name specific names because at this point it is kind of still rumor. That said, if you look beyond that, like Marcus and Bruton Smith have voiced interest in acquiring the team. This was like a couple of years ago, and they haven't talked about it since. But that's one name. You know, if you recall this past year, Marcus was trying to bring an MLS team to Charlotte. So clearly, you know, he's been busy with looking into the finances of acquiring a professional franchise. Beyond that, people have mentioned Michael Jordan as a possible partner in this endeavor. He has neither confirmed nor denied it. The Hornets declined to comment on that one. Technically, it is legal to own an NBA and NFL franchise, so that's something that I guess he could do if he wanted to, or be part of a team that was going to put in an offer. P. Diddy, if you recall, was one of the one of the early names that threw in his hat. He's also gotten support from Steph Curry, who grew up in Charlotte, as well as Colin Kaepernick. And who else? I'm sure that we will hear, I know a few more, but I'm not sure if I can say any more names with certainty. If you look at the Forbes list of millionaires in North Carolina and billionaires,
sure.
I would say that anyone on that list would be a possible contender for you know, a possible like ownership group that puts in a bid when the team actually goes up for sale. But the team will say, and you know, even today, I know that they are very tight-lipped about this whole thing. They will say that the team goes up for sale once the season ends, and the season is not over yet. You know, that the season could be over on Sunday, in which case the for sale sign is officially up. So at this point, it's a lot of speculation, but it should be interesting to see how this thing pans out in the next several months.
Yeah, no, very interesting. I'll throw a couple of names out there. You can sit silently or chime in if you want, because I might be totally off base. One of those, I believe there are three or four billionaires in North Carolina now. One of those is Jim Goodman, who owns Capital Broadcasting. I think a lot of our listeners are familiar with his name. He owns WRAL. He's the president and CEO of WRAL. Pardon me. He's the president or CEO of WRAL Television. Another name I've wondered a little bit about is Hugh McCoyle, who, if memory is triggering correctly, he was the founder of Bank of America. So yeah, I mean, certainly some interesting folks. Real quick, just a footnote on Bruton and Marcus Smith, and I'm going to have you fact check me here. But Bruton Smith, he owns Charlotte Motor Speedway, and Marcus is his son, who's like a NASCAR exec. Is that more or less?
Yeah, so Bruton essentially has stepped down from his family businesses, but he owns Speedway Motorsports, which owns and operates a number of racetracks around the country, including including the one in Concord. So Marcus is essentially the head of the company now. He also has another son, Scott Smith, who's the head of Sonic Automotive in Charlotte, and they operate a bunch of car dealerships, not just in Charlotte, but around the Carolinas. I believe there is a younger son. I'm not sure how involved he is in the family business, and not so much ones that I've dealt with, at least, and I apologize to him if he's listening, but yeah, Bruton is basically the name that a lot of people know around Charlotte. He's been a very visible face in the community for years, but Marcus is basically the face of the brand now. But you mentioned Hugh McCall earlier. He is the former head of Bank of America. Before it was, Nations Bank back in the day. And through a series of mergers and acquisitions, they became Bank of America. But McCall is still extremely active in the community. He's endorsed a number of young city council members over the last several months. He remains, you know, a trusted voice and mentor for many people, and of course he has deep pockets, so he's the name that has come up in this discussion as well.
Sure. One more follow-up on the potential ownership piece. The majority of NFL owners predominantly are white men. There are several women. There are a couple of owners who are from other countries, born in other countries. Have there been any names, and if you've mentioned them, I'm already zoning out here early in the new year. Are there any women whose names have come up, or any other non-white men as potential? I guess you mentioned Diddy and Jordan, so obviously those two are noteworthy. But any women who have come up in these conversations?
Not seriously. People have speculated, of course. And, you know, anyone can speculate. Anyone can write stuff on the internet, tweet, you know, put stuff on their Facebook. So I don't want to, like, give credence to any, you know, rumors out there. But people have been like, oh, what if Oprah were to put in a bid? And, you know, of course she would be the first female owner. She'd be the first black celebrity owner. You know, I think it would be really interesting to see a figure like her do something like that. But again, this is purely speculative. That's just a rumor I've heard.
You get a pretzel and you get popcorn and you get cotton candy.
Exactly.
Katie Peralta, business reporter for the Charlotte Observer, is the guest here on the WUNC Politics podcast. You had a story out, I believe it was out today, about PSLs. Tell us a little bit about personal seat licenses. This is something the Carolina Panthers used back 20 years ago to help fund the stadium, and kind of the rub or the conundrum as it stands today.
So PSL stands for permanent seat licenses, and it's a concept that Carolina actually essentially came up with on their own, at least the way that they have used this process to fund the stadium. So when, I guess it was like back in 1987, Jerry Richardson, who was an ex-NFL player turned Hardee's operator turned self-made millionaire, when Charlotte won an NBA franchise, you know, the Hornets, Richardson started thinking about owning an NFL franchise himself. So he got the idea in around 87, 88, and he'd been working really hard to impress the league, to win their favor, and to put together, you know, an impressive package to get an extension team here. Actually, that's not the right word. Expansion team, I think. And so it was around 1992-93 that these conversations became serious, and he was, you know, he presented his idea to the league, and they basically said, you can't have one in Charlotte unless you have a really buttoned-up stadium plan. He didn't have enough money at the time to finance the stadium completely on his own. So basically what he did was he sold seats at the stadium, the PSLs, like he took deposits for the PSLs, along with a bank loan of, I'm not even sure how much it was, to basically say, you know, if we win the franchise, we have all of this money. People actually put in deposits to build the stadium at the time. And he had, you know, the language written out in the contracts that said basically, if the NFL does not award Charlotte the franchise, then you will get your money back. So at the time, initially, I think he had about 48,000 PSLs when they actually won the franchise. You know, they put more on sale in the coming months after that before the team started playing. The team initially played in Clemson while the stadium was being built uptown. And today, PSL owners have about 90% of Bank of America Stadium, which has a capacity now of roughly like 77,000. The stadium has undergone a series of renovations over the years, starting in 2013, that the city council has chipped in millions of dollars for, in addition to the Panthers' own money. So, you know, in addition to providing the money for the initial stadium back in the early 90s, PSL owners have to buy tickets every year. You know, the PSL basically guaranteed them a seat in the stadium, and they're contractually obliged to buy the season tickets on top of that every year. And these PSLs are thousands of dollars. You know, some people would spend like, you know, $10,000 on a pair of tickets at the, 40-yard line back in the day. And now, they have to, on top of that, pay for season tickets. So most PSL owners will attend the majority of the games. They have their names on a plaque outside the stadium. So they feel like they built a stadium. And in fact, that's what Jerry Richardson said back in 1993. He called it, even before the franchise was won in Charlotte, he called it the stadium the fans built. So they feel like this is a part of, they feel like they were a part of bringing the franchise here. And really they were, even if individually people played a smaller role in it. But it's still a compelling concept that other teams across the league have emulated, if not exactly, then, in theory, to build their own stadiums over the years.
Sure. And you use the word permanent, permanent seat license, but it I guess it's not permanent or potentially not permanent. Do we know that these will go away? And is there any recourse or is there any benefit to these longtime PSL holders if the slate is effectively wiped clean?
So, they're PSLs in the sense that you buy them for, they're permanent. You can bequeath them to your children. You can gift them. You can trade them. You have to buy tickets every year. I think what you're referring to is like the story I wrote today about whether or not like the new owners would opt to build a new stadium. So per the original agreement with the Panthers, the PSL owners are required to buy and have a right to buy tickets at Bank of America Stadium uptown. Of course, it opened as Ericsson Stadium, so technically it's the Panthers' home stadium uptown. If a new owner decides to either move the franchise out of town or build a new stadium, they would have a lot of decision making to do, and there would be a lot of PSL owners who could potentially be very peeved at whatever happens, because experts I've spoken with have said this would essentially wipe the slate clean, is to use your words, and they would have to re-sign some sort of agreement with the PSLs. They could always get creative with it. Maybe they guarantee the PSLs seats at the new stadium, or maybe they give them discounts on the new PSLs. But the purpose of the PSL is to provide a source of funding so that the new owners don't have to ask for public financing, which is obviously controversial. And it's also a way to help pay for the stadium if they don't have enough money to do so themselves, which is the case with Richardson from back in the day.
Sure. And we are I'm trying to get us way ahead of ourselves on this, and you're playing along, which I much appreciate, because there's a lot of uncertainty, as we talked about off the top, whether that's pertinent to the ownership or the PSLs or the stadium itself. And I wanted to ask you just a little bit about that. And I think it's important for me, I guess, to think about the potential of a new stadium with the giant, we call it a monstrosity, call it whatever you want, but there's this giant stadium just down the road in Atlanta. The Falcons have a new home. They've had a new home, the Atlanta Falcons, for the last few months now. And that's a stadium that I want to say is checked in at like $1.5 billion or $1.6 billion, $1.7 billion to construct. And one of the concerns, or one of the pieces of conversation here, is that a new ownership group is either going to turn around and say, hey, Charlotte, Meck County, state of North Carolina, we want significant money to spruce up or to change the stadium, or to build a new stadium. Would you wager either way at this point what we will see, what is likely to come in 2018?
So it's it would be unsurprising completely, in my opinion, to see new owners stick with the stadium they have in the short term. And by short term, I mean 5, 10, 20 years, not 20, maybe 5, 10 years, and then down the line look to have the fanciest stadium. Every owner wants the fanciest stadium. Every owner wants to maximize revenue sources if they can. That doesn't necessarily mean, we want, a stadium with a dome, or we want a new stadium with a retractable roof to host the Super Bowl, which both of those things would be required to host a Super Bowl in Charlotte. They very well say that, actually. It wouldn't be out of the question to, demand that kind of thing, just so that the NFL would treat Charlotte, I guess you could say, with a Super Bowl down the line. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. But they also would want to get the most bang for their buck. And, you know, I don't know if that necessarily means a bigger stadium. It might mean a stadium with, like, you know, 60, 65,000 seats and tons of premium or luxury seating, which actually I learned this week, actually, that the team derives more revenue from those premium seats than they do the regular seats. With the regular seats, they basically have to share the proceeds with the rest of the NFL. But with the premium seats, they get to keep most of the money for themselves. And so that's something that I wouldn't be surprised at. So, you know, long story short, I don't foresee Bank of America Stadium being torn down next year or in 5 years, whatever the case may be with new owners. I think probably in the short term they will stay put, and then, you know, within a decade, that would make sense also with the renovations that they've done. You know, these stadiums aren't meant to last forever. It's not like a house where you can well, I guess it is kind of like a house. But, sorry, I'm trying to think of a good analogy here. You know, it is very nice right now, and it is state-of-the-art right now, but it's always kind of been the expectation that eventually something new will have to be brought in, or something will have to be added, or maybe a new stadium would have to be constructed.
Sure, sure. Katie Peralta, guest here on the WUNC Politics Podcast. I don't know if either of us mentioned this before, so just to put it out there, I'm sure a lot of listeners are aware, but the Panthers are not bound to Charlotte for 10 or 15 or 20 years. They can leave after the 2019 season. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's my understanding of it.
Yeah, so per the agreement with the city in 2013, that included like a hard tether, I guess you could say, to the city for 6 years after for 6 years, so in 2019, with penalties if the team left thereafter for, I think, 2 or 4 years. I'm not really sure what those penalties are, to be quite honest.
Okay.
To be completely frank, it seems very strange that new owners would want to, you know, immediately leave town the year that renovations are wrapped up. You know what I mean?
That's just
me surmising. But
sure.
At the same time, part of the cost of the team potentially, you know, Forbes estimated that they are roughly $2.3 billion now, includes the cost of the stadium. So, you know, is that an asset that you'd want to just throw away? I'm not sure.
Big money, for sure. I'm going to throw a few quick hitters at you before we wrap this thing up. First one, we'll keep it going with the topics that we've been on. Charlotte is going to host an NBA All-Star game in 2019. That will be in a basketball arena, but these big super arenas that we're talking about, potentially, I mean, type of stadium that Bank of America is, but the Mercedes-Benz, whatever it is, stadium down in Atlanta is the site of the BCS championship on Monday. The Georgia Alabama contest. So, long question out of me, perhaps a quick answer out of you. What will Charlotte host first, a Final Four, a Super Bowl, or a BCS championship?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say BCS championship, only because I think the other two are so far away. And you know, the ACC is becoming more of a football powerhouse, so I could see that. Again, that's just a total guess, so don't put any money on that one.
I will not put any money on it. Your Twitter bio makes reference to two schools you went to, Notre Dame and the Medill School at Northwestern. Northwestern or Notre Dame, they're meeting, say, in the Sweet 16. Are you wearing purple or are you wearing gold?
Blue and gold, 100%. No offense, Northwestern. I don't cheer for Northwestern. Everyone I know always goes with the undergrad, and I've been. My parents met at Notre Dame. I was raised a mile from campus. I am Notre Dame through and through.
All right, fair enough. Favorite snow day activity?
Being inside by a fire with hot chocolate or coffee. I'm from the Midwest, but I don't like to be outside when it's this cold out. My mom always used to say I like snow as a noun, not as a verb. So it's nice to look at from the inside, and, you know, be cozy and all that from the warmth of your home, but I don't like to play in it.
Fair enough. Final score or prediction for this Sunday. Panthers at Saints, what do you got?
31-17 Saints.
Katie Peralta is a business reporter with the Charlotte Observer. You can follow her on Twitter at Katie Peralta, KatiePeralta. Katie, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
And thanks, as always, for tuning into the WUNC Politics Podcast. You can find previous episodes, download this one, share it on social media, find it at Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher. Leave us a comment or a rating, good, bad, or indifferent, and stay up to date with all the political happenings in North Carolina at our website, WUNC.org. For Katie, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you next week. Get into the club. Trade your worries. You gotta show up if you wanna be seen. If it matters to you, ma, it matters to me. I'm gonna fall hard, yeah, I know I am. When the clouds crack up, I laugh with them. There ain't no man can save me. There ain't no man can enslave me.